This is the podcast of Yale Environment 360. I'm Diane Toomey. Environmental journalist Fred Pierce has been writing about baking and shaking. Can climate change somehow trigger earthquakes and volcanic eruptions? One British geologist thinks so, and Fred, you've been delving into Bill McGuire's theories, and they all start with melting ice, correct?
They do. His theory, and it's a bit more than a theory, there's an awful lot of papers and research projects that he cites in this, is that as we start messing with sea levels, as we start melting ice on the land, we're going to set off a whole series of seismic reactions. Or at any rate, he fears that, and he has reasonable evidence from the past that that's what happens.
We should say here that Bill McGuire has written a new book on this topic. It has a rather ominous title of Waking the Giant. So let's tease this out a bit. To support this possible link, McGuire points to events that occurred at the end of the last ice age, around 12,000 years ago, when there was a great awakening of volcanoes, especially in Iceland. What was going on to trigger those eruptions?
We are coming out of a period when a large part of the planet, right down to middle latitudes, were covered in really very thick sheets of ice, and that ice was melting on geological timescales extremely fast, over hundreds and thousands of years. And as the weight of that ice, and we're talking about ice a kilometer or 2 kilometers thick, was released, the crust of the Earth rose up. This is a fairly well-known geological phenomenon. If you take the pressure off, it will rise up. And we're talking about, hundreds of meters.
How does that lessening of pressure affect a volcano and trigger an eruption?
Well, if there's a lot of weight on the volcano, or at any rate on the Earth's surface, and that pressure means that the magma, the stuff that flows out of a volcano during eruption, is under greater pressure. And if you know any physics at all, you'll know that that will tend to make it solid. Once the pressure is released, the pressure on that stuff is reduced, and it moves from solid into a liquid form. And once it's in a liquid form, it's much more likely to surge up to fine cracks in the crust and to shoot up through perhaps existing old volcanic fissures. I mean, it was a very substantial increase, a 30-fold increase in the number of eruptions in Iceland. And that took place over a period of perhaps 1,500 years at the height of the melting of the surface ice. So now that doesn't prove cause and effect, of course, but there's a time coincidence and a very persuasive mechanism.
Is there evidence that volcanoes respond today to pressure changes?
Yes, there is, and really on very tight timescales. For instance, you see that in the Northern Hemisphere, we get many more volcanic eruptions during the winter between November and April. And that seems to be as a result of changes in water pressure from the weight of the ocean. Between the seasons, water flushes around between the oceans, moves from the polar regions to the tropics and from the Northern Hemisphere to the Southern Hemisphere and so on. And there's a regular cycle to this. And the movement of water seems to squash or release the land underneath. And that appears to be sufficient to trigger, as I say, more volcanic eruptions during the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And there's good data for that, and that's published data from Oxford geologists in this case.
Let's turn to earthquakes. And when McGuire talks about their possible climate change triggers, he really paints a picture of the Earth's crust being poked and prodded under a melting ice scenario. So tell me more about that.
Yes, again, it's a rather similar process. Essentially, we're talking about the release of pressure and the imposition of pressure. And perhaps it's a little more obvious than with a volcano that if you do that, you're likely to unsettle fault lines beneath the Earth and potentially trigger earthquakes.
And at the end of the last ice age, there was a spike in earthquakes, yes?
There was.
The melting that's predicted to occur in a warmer world, even in a worst-case scenario, pales in comparison to the ice melt that happened at the end of the last ice age. So what's your take on the validity of comparing what happened then to what might happen in our warmer world?
Well, there are a number of reasons why one should be cautious at this point about seeing today as an analogy with that. Clearly, what happened at the end of the last ice age in terms of the amount of ice that melted is much smaller today. You know, there's much less ice around to melt for a start. The question is whether it might be enough to trigger perhaps a modest increase in earthquakes rather than sort of orders of magnitude increases, as we saw at the end of the last ice age. And the other issue is the timescale. What happened at the end of the last ice age was something which happened over a number of thousands of years, and I'm sure the effects weren't instant. Now, the very last IPCC assessment, a specific report looking at dangers of climate extremes, had a couple of lines about this. It basically said that we should perhaps think about geological effects on timescales as short as 10 to 100 years. And of course, along with that, one might see an increase in the risk of extreme events. And that, of course, is troubling because we are all on this planet at the behest and at the agreement, if you like, of geology. This planet can be a very violent place when geological forces are really taking hold. So it's something which we should be looking at.
McGuire, as you mentioned, is citing the work of other researchers in his book. But how much of an outlier is he? What's been the reaction in the scientific community to his theories, his conclusions?
Well, for me as an outsider, as a journalist, I mean, I've been watching the climate change scene and reporting on the science for a couple of decades now. But so for me, I find it a rather muted response. I think this has to do with what people feel expert in. Climate scientists really aren't experts in geology, and therefore they're rather reluctant to talk about geology. Also, I suspect that they are alarmed at the prospect that if they bring up another sort of doomsday scenario or even mention it in passing, somebody will accuse them of being alarmists. So the climate scientists are very, very cautious. Geologists seem to fall into two camps. Those who say, well, this is pretty straightforward geology. There's no big surprise about this. We know about these tectonic forces. But beyond geologists who've taken a look at it, I think, again, there's caution. I think there is a fear in the scientific community about raising issues like this, which are obviously would be of public concern. They kind of don't want to do that, because they don't want to be alarmist, and that's quite right, but also because they're a little scared of sort of reaction against them. So I think the importance of McGuire is that he's a good scientist, he's a good geologist, he's an advisor to the British government, and he's also quite a persuasive populist in the best sense, a populist of good science. So he's sort of taken up the mantle, I think, of presenting the case here. Don't let's get alarmist about it. But for heaven's sake, let's do the research.
That's environmental journalist Fred Pierce, who's based in London. To read his article on the possibility that climate change will trigger geological events, go to Yale Environment 360's website, e360.yale.edu. That's e360.yale.edu. That's where you'll also find an article on the brave new world of an iceless Arctic Ocean. Will there be a fishing free-for-all there? I'm Diane Toomey. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Yale Environment 360.
The opinions and views expressed in this podcast are those of the guests and not of the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies or of Yale University. Theme music by Swivel Neck Jones, available at magnatune.com.